So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Well, I'm standing here outside in the snowstorm because Jeff wants me to be outside. The things I do for you people. All right. Today's thought is about the Chicago way itself. Is the Chicago way ended now that a Daley from the 11th Ward has been convicted, facing prison? Is the Chicago way ended just because our old, well, I thought he was our friend, Alderman Ray Lopez of the 15th Ward, is on a jihad against Dibs in the middle of a snowstorm? I don't think so. I'm going to tell you a story. It was a cold, rainy afternoon over chili and beer on Archer Avenue near Western. It was in McKinley Park, where I talked to a police investigator named Ian Aloysius Donnelly. We were at Lindy's Chili, but sometimes I call it Gertie's because I don't know, the chili place and the ice cream place are connected. Anyway, this was formerly Lindy's. That's not important. Ian Aloysius Donnelly is important. The tavern was quiet after the lunch rush, and Ian Aloysius Donnelly was talking to me about a kinky drug bust and potentially dirty cops. Yeah, there are some because, well, there's a lot of money in that white powder. But the name he gave bothered me. Ian Aloysius Donnelly. He gave me the card. I read the name again. I looked at him. Bullshit, I said. He was IAD, Internal Affairs Division, the division that investigates cops. And his game was that he didn't want me to know his name, and so he made up a fake card, IAD, Ian Aloysius Donnelly. There's a lot of bullshit in the business of investigating police when reporters are involved, because there's politics and tribes within tribes. And who's screwing who? And which side is doing the real screwing? And which side is the victim? And who's screaming because they're setting it up for the feds? And there's all other stuff to get through, to unpack, before you can make judgments that impact the lives of human beings. It's not a game for altar boys, fodder. And today I wonder where Ian Aloysius Donnelly is now. Because IAD is busy, or they were busy immediately, when Mayor Lori Lightfoot's IAD chief had her car pulled over in a narcotics arrest on the west side. The news is all about Snowmageddon, but the real news, the real thunder, the real lightning, the real storm, is about that car registered to IAD chief Yolanda Talley. Tally's niece was driving. Reportedly, her boyfriend was a passenger, and on the 500 block of North St. Louis, the car was pulled over, an arrest was made, somebody threw out pink packages. Pink. Of 42 grams of a substance allegedly to be heroin. A Kenneth Miles was arrested. The young lady's boyfriend. But you know what? He was charged and she was cut loose. Police sources tell me she's on a police body cam flashing her clout, telling the arresting officers that her auntie is a police boss. Who knows? We need answers. And if that's not Chicago way enough, there's more. The arresting officers have been put on ice. They're calling it soft desk duty, not suspension. But Yolanda Talley, chief of internal affairs, whose car was involved in a heroin bust? Is she on ice? I just got off the phone with police. The police department officially isn't saying. Lori Lightfoot promised she'd be the transparent mayor, but she just dumped this mess into the office of the city inspector general. Why? Because she can bury it that way. Because now all Lori has to say is, it's under investigation. I can't comment. Yada, yada, yada. It'll all come out, though, because, well, she's running for re-election, and she's not connected to the Chicago outfit. So it'll come out. We've got a lot to talk about today. New York Mayor Eric Adams is stupidly playing the race card against the liberal woke media that supported his election. And Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau is stupidly playing the swastika card against a conservative Jewish member of parliament whose family are Holocaust survivors. Behold, the meltdown of the left. WGN executive producer Jeff Carlin is here, as always. And I'm John Cass, freezing my ass off in the cold, editor-in-chief of johncassnews.com. And where are you? You're here with us, and we're podcasting twice a week now. The Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Is this the end of the Chicago Way? A Daily has been found guilty in court. We talked about it last week. Hell hath frozen over, and the Chicago Way is no more. John Cass?
No way, Jeff. See, the beauty of the Chicago Way is that it doesn't rely on creed, race, sex, gender, any of the multiple 500,000 genders that we have now.
However you identify, no matter what you identify with, you're all chumbalones in the Chicago Way.
And this is the no chumbalone zone. So this story is amazing. Okay.
It is. I'm sure people have seen it. In fact, the irony is that the last episode of the Chicago Way we were taping, within the hour of it posting, the news that Patrick Daly Thompson had been found guilty on all counts after a little over 3 hours of deliberation. It was just irony. John's texting me, and we're like, we'll have to get it next week, because the Chicago Way can live on without the dailies. It's just we have to find other fodder. And I think, John, you found some other fodder for the Chicago Way.
Well,
or proof, at least, that it's alive and well.
Well, the night before we recorded this episode, and we have two episodes a week now.
Tell your friends.
If you're interested in sponsoring an episode, please email John at johncassnews.com and write in sponsorship on your in the subject matter so Jeff Carlin can get paid. Anyway, this is about Internal Affairs Chief Yolanda Talley. She's CPD, Chicago Police Department. The Internal Affairs Division investigates bad cops.
And she's the chief, right?
Yolanda Talley is the chief of IAD. An amazing thing happened. Her Lexus, it's a her Lexus, isn't it?
It sure is.
Was pulled over on the west side in a drug bust. Somebody got into a car, a convicted felon with a history of drug arrests, got into that nice Lexus. And I'm glad to see that cops don't have to drive Chevys, you know, beater Chevys like I remember. You know, the dad car was always a beater. It was her niece.
Right.
Tolly's niece was driving. A pink packet was thrown out the window.
A bag containing 84 pink packets, each filled with heroin.
You know, what's funny about the snow in Chicago, it could be dingy, it could be, you know, salty and cruddy looking, but a package of pink stuff, right?
Right.
Pink packages show up well against the snow. So,
well,
So they pulled her over and they arrested the guy. His name is
Kenneth Miles. And Kenneth Miles was seen to the area, for those who may not know, where they were stopped, or near where they were stopped, is a area known for its narcotic economy. And the story, according to the reporting, cops were watching this area intently. And this gentleman, Kenneth Miles, was seen picking up a duffel bag off the street and getting into this Lexus. And then this Lexus makes a left-hand turn, doesn't use a turn signal, gets pulled over. Right. Yeah. And it's, so then the lights are on, the car is being pulled over, and then the bag gets thrown, ejected from the car, and the cops, lo and behold, find, like I said,
it gets of heroin.
But yes, but wait, there's more.
There's more. So the night before we began recording this, my phone was buzzing with texts from cops from all over asking two questions. Why is Yolanda Tali not relieved of command as IAD chief because her car was involved in a drug arrest?
Mm-hmm.
And why are the police officers who arrested her, the young lady, they didn't arrest her.
No,
they arrested the guy.
Exactly.
Why are the police officers who cut her loose now on what's called ICE? In other words, they've not been suspended, but they're on soft desk duty, whatever the hell that is.
Right.
In other words, soft desk duty. Yeah. And the third thing. So here's what Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago, Miss Transparency. What does she do? They send it over to the inspector general's office. And what happens, Jeff? The Southside Socratic dialogue of mine. What happens when news reporters will ask City Hall, what about this? What about Yolanda Tali? What about what's going on with this and her car?
Your Honor, we don't discuss pending litigation or investigations. That's what happens. And it's very Chicago way. And rolling back on the story a little too, obviously her niece was driving the car. This guy was arrested. The niece was let go. I don't know where the car is. I figure my understanding is that if you're arrested in a car with lots of drugs, that the car is impounded and becomes police property.
Right.
And also, we're kind of glossing over the fact that Miss Alley was only recently appointed to this position in December. It's less than 2 months in. And this is the big headline.
Wasn't she I think she was the recruitment and diversity officer.
Right.
For Lori's woke administration, police administration. And I think she also was in charge of the Austin district for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The Austin district is a tough district. So,
it
has a long history of drug sales.
Now, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now, we don't let's be clear so that for all the trolls out there, and I know you're listening turgidly excited. I will not accuse anyone who's not been charged of any crime.
No.
Yolanda Tali, IAD, like, you know, Ian Aloysius Donnelly, but it's Internal Affairs Division. She, like the guy I met at that bar, she has not been charged.
No.
The niece has not been charged.
No. The gentleman.
Only the guy.
Right, the gentleman with the drugs was charged, and here, this may surprise you, John. I know doesn't happen a lot in Chicago, but he was actually out on bond in a separate case for manufacturing and distributing fentanyl. So, I mean, clearly the system is working.
And what, fentanyl doesn't kill people, just heroin kills people? Yeah.
Something like that. No, heroin doesn't kill people, needles kill people.
Needles.
I'm not sure on that one.
Give the junkies
Maybe it's crack pipes. Yeah, it's just, you know, Chicago Way is live and well. We have a lot of questions being asked. We can't ask questions or, you know, don't want to say anything that anybody's been accused of anything. But the fact that they haven't been accused of anything or charged with anything raises even more questions. So
we'll have to watch
these stories. Yeah.
In the coming days, a lot of this will come out because there's she's running for re-election.
Yep.
And there's got to be an alderman.
Sure.
Female or male with the stones enough to quite call her out on it, because going to the inspector general is not the way. You take this to the U.S. attorney.
Right. You take it to the inspector general's office if you want it to be go away for 8 months, 9 months. I mean, we've had Joe Ferguson on, and he is, you know, these things are very detailed and organized, and they follow every step and cover every stone. And so that's a neat way to pack something away and out of the headlines for, you know, months and months and months on end. However, the reporting done by some of our friends and colleagues, or
Frank Main of the Sun Times.
Yeah, Frank Main and Tom Shuba over there, they have in their reporting, there's apparently a video of this arrest. So we will know more about what was said to whom, and was the "Do you know who I am" card play? We don't know, but
well,
all that stuff's going to come out.
That brings me to another point, which is we haven't seen the body cam video, but I've been in conversation with the FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, with senior command, at least those who don't like Eric Carter for what he did to the funeral of the of the police officer. And everybody's asking what's on the body cam video. Now, I'm going to offer you a possible scenario that when someone gets arrested and doesn't want to be arrested and they're in somebody else's car and they're scared, mm-hmm. You know, they might pull a little Chicago Way trick, like, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who my auntie is?
Mm-hmm.
You can't touch me." I'm just saying, it's right. Like there's a scent in the air of that, you know?
See, this is where, right, exactly. And this is where the interestingness of this will all play out, because there are a couple of scenarios that this either went down. Like you said, cops run the plate comes back to the chief of internal affairs. And they're both officers are like, "Oh, crap."
Right.
I mean, you guys.
It's like finding Eddie Johnson.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Like, what am I going to do now?
These guys and the guys who pulled over Eddie Johnson need this former support group. I mean, because that's just not the job they should have to be playing. But I hope, and we will find out how it went down. But we know one thing for sure is that Lori is doing her best, or at least her team is doing her best to keep anyone from asking any questions about this.
Bingo. I agree, Jeff. Just like she didn't want to ask certain questions or answer certain questions, and decided that skin pigment was a good barometer, you know, how to
exactly
choose.
Right. Yeah, right around the anniversary of her election, infamously now that it's a story you hear everywhere you go. People say, "Oh, your mayor would only talk to minority reporters on her birthday." They say her birthday. Most people be like, "It was her birthday." I'm like, "Well, it was the anniversary of her election." But exactly. That's the point.
I'm thinking of minority reporters I know a lot.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want to be put in that position, right?
Like, absolutely.
You're my stooge. You know?
Absolutely. And there were certainly reporters who didn't take that bait and wouldn't be a part of that. And that, we commend them for that. But
Greg Pratt would not sit down. Others didn't sit down.
Yeah, others too. And it's really indicative of this idea. And you know what? I'm sure there is some truth to this. And I believe the essence of what is trying to be achieved with this, the idea that, "Oh, look, newsrooms aren't like me, so you don't understand my perspective." I get that, my prism. But it seems to be a concept that is spreading, right, John?
Well, it's spreading to New York, is it not?
It sounds like it. Mayor Eric Adams made some news that got picked up by Fox and the National Review, but the audio, everybody. the audio kind of speaks for itself.
He ran on crime. Violent crime is the issue. And you know who gets hurt most by violent crime? Black and brown people. They're the victims, mostly, of violent crime. And he was saying, we can't have this. We're going to stop it. And then he shot to the top of the polls with all these white liberal reporters in New York supporting him and saying, this is a new day, a new day. And then he gets a little pushback on his policies from Black Lives Matter, from Democrats who are woke. And all of a sudden he's upset. So he takes it out on the press, the white press, whatever that is.
We need to really stop distorting the news. And you know, I'm going to say this. And, you know, I'm not saying it out of hate. I'm saying it out of love. I'm a black man. That's the mayor. But my story has been interpreted by people that don't look like me. We got to be honest about that. How many blacks are in the editorial boards? How many blacks are determined how these stories are being written? How many Asians? How many East Indians? How many South Asians? Everybody talks about my government being diversified. What's the diversification in the newsrooms? So everybody go back with their predispositions, and my role as mayor is being interpreted through the prism of your realities and not mine. So when you write stories, you're not writing stories for people who was almost homeless like me. You're not writing stories for people who were arrested and beat by police officers. You're not writing stories from those who are dealing with high crime. You're writing from your prisms. And I'm not saying this to attack.
Oh, no.
But my administration is going to be about saying the obvious that other people are uncomfortable with saying. Discomfort is growth. So I say that to all your owners of your papers, your editorials, diversify your newsroom so I can look out and see people that look like me and say, we're going to write stories based on the prisms that we have, based on the prism of this young man, based on the prism of being the first black woman, that's the speaker, or Jumaane Williams, based on the prisms of his realities. It's not what we're getting. That's not what we're getting. And that's why I'm covered the way I'm covered. And I'm not comfortable with it.
I'm not comfortable with it either, Mayor. You know what I'm really not comfortable with? The racist assumption by the left, and you are the left, sir, that if you have certain skin color, you think certain way. But at the same time, while this is going to be parroted, you know, with nodding heads and yeah, tell it and all that. If a black man doesn't agree with you, say his name is Clarence Thomas.
Right.
Or if the person is conservative, they're not, they're demeaned. They're not of the race. They're traitors to the race or to the gender. So really all you want is a chorus of people saying, you are an awesome dude.
Right.
Right? And yeah. The issue is about crime killing black and brown people. Most of the guns are, the triggers are pulled by skin people of skin color that is black and brown. So who's going to stand up for the black babies and the Latino babies? Like we had that moron of the chief judge in Chicago, Timmy Evans. I think of him as the guy who wanted a suit I was wearing once. It was Armani. Yeah. When I was skinny, but maybe I'll tell you that story sometime, Jeff. But there's Timmy Evans saying, the guy who's accused of killing that little girl
right
in Little Village, the 8-year-old, he didn't know what he was doing because he doesn't know right from wrong. He's only, his brain, his cortex hasn't developed yet.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Sorry. I was ranting, but I got triggered.
You know? You certainly did. It's, I understand his point, and his point is not in vain. And the idea that like you said, he's then making the jump the other way that anybody who isn't like him can't at least appreciate or has the humanity to understand what, you know, how to report that. Because that's the other thing is that we've obviously our media is so far damage that the it's understood that reporters, anything reporting or come to you is going to be completely tainted by that person. Like that's just how it is. And so we need more people who are different so we can get more perspectives or better perspectives or more like perspective. It doesn't make sense. The logic is leap isn't there for me to be like, okay, but it goes both ways. So I can be reporting because I'm just supposed to be giving you the fact. I'm just supposed to be offering what's happening. I'm not giving you anything other than that. So how am I being biased? And I get it. There is certainly a bias to it. But people, good reporters, people who are trained to be quality journalists, not just somebody who, you know, had a happy Twitter following and then started a blog and then all of a sudden they're working for a newspaper. You know, those people are not journalists. And so they taint it. And I get it. But it's not that cut and dry, and it's not that simple.
Do you want me to cut and dry it a little bit? I'll cut it into chunks, easily digested. The most of the media, at least the what I call the corrupt corporate mainstream media, is of the left. And for the past 15 years, 20 years, they've been hiring internally people of that persuasion politically. Right. And so then they express that political persuasion to the newsrooms, and the newsrooms, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's awesome. That was an awesome story. Although the readership is not all of the left. So they're basically telling anyone who's not a lefty to just cancel your subscription. And many have. In a big city that I know well.
Yeah.
And why do they do that? Because they don't have diversity. It's really not about diversity. It's just diversity of skin color to get an amen chorus, you know? Everybody say amen, you know?
Right.
And, okay, Eric, Lori, amen. Whatever you did, you want to hide this IAD problem with the girl getting the Lexus and the West Side, put it in Inspector General's hands. Amen, Lori. You're awesome, Lori.
Right.
Or Eric, same way. And the other thing, if you think Chicago is woke, Chicago media is woke, and it is, and I bear the scars to prove it, think about New York. New York is multiple times woke, except for maybe the New York Post and some members of the Wall Street Journal editorial board. But for the most part, they also produce news that an opinion that reflect the sensibilities of the left.
Right. Well, you know, see, and I get your point there, John. I think it's, I don't know if it's that much of a conspiracy to this extent where they're like, just, oh, I'm just going to hire liberals, or I'm just going to find, you know, people on the left, as much as it is that the places were churning out these quote unquote journalists it's more prevalent there than it is in the rooms themselves. I think because the pool, if I went and started a newspaper today in Chicago, I'd be amazed if 70%+ of my applicants weren't left of center. You know, just because that's the pool they're fishing in. And I think that's been true for decades. And yes. I think that it's almost, you know, there's another play here. I mean, I just don't want to make it appeal because you're carving it up in left and right. They're carving it up in black and white. And so my point is that it's the culture at large that has probably pushed us to the situation more than actual people pulling levers and chains in newspapers or in actual politics or government. I think it's that the larger push by society to that, in a broader stream, which has been pushed by people who have money and how they believe. And this all goes back to the idea that we always complain about is the super media complex that now involves the internet and all the other stuff that goes with it.
Well, as Breitbart said famously, and I think he's a conservative.
He certainly is.
Politics is always downstream of culture. And I don't think anyone on the left or right will disagree. When culture as culture changes, the politics change.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, Jeff, it changes so rapidly and so starkly that a prime minister, leftist prime minister of Canada, and I'm half Canadian, okay, so I can say this. My mom's from Guelph. I have cousins in, you know, throughout Ontario, and my uncle was a member of parliament who invoked once when Betty and I were getting strip searched at International Falls border when I was going fishing. We were going fishing, but that's another story to tell some other time. But Pierre Trudeau, the drama teacher, middle school drama teacher who became prime minister, has just accused a conservative member of parliament she's a Jewish woman. Her name is Melissa Lanzmann. She's a Jewish woman and a descendant of Holocaust survivors, by saying that she stands with those holding swastikas.
Yeah, and you gotta hear this.
And if this is not evidence of, you know, you hear all the time the, I had teenagers, you know, once. I understand that when your hormones kick in and the acne comes, that there's a lot of drama. Okay, I understand that. But now the whole culture is drama because they know that they're going to lose in November. And you've got to hear this. You've got to hear evidence of the left meltdown, the meltdown of the left. Behold.
Optimistic, hopeful vision for public life isn't a naive dream. It could be a powerful force for change. If Canadians are to trust their government needs to trust Canadians. Those are the words of the Prime Minister in 2015. These people, very often misogynistic, racist, women haters, science deniers, the fringe. Same Prime Minister 6 years later as he fans the flames of an unjustified national emergency. So, Mr. Speaker, when did the Prime Minister lose his way? When did it happen?
You right, Honorable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, Conservative Party members can stand with people who wave swastikas. They can stand with people who wave the Confederate flag. We will choose to stand with Canadians who deserve to be able to get to their jobs, who be able to get their lives back. These illegal protests need to stop, and they will, Mr. Speaker.
How dare you, sir? I take great umbrage with you. But what is that, Jeff? What is going on? This is about the trucker protest. She's talking about how Melissa Lanzmann is talking about how Trudeau has overreached, as the left always does. You know, in Illinois, we couldn't go to couldn't go to church, but we could buy liquor and pot.
And right. Gamble.
That was okay for Pritzker. She's standing up for the truckers and against his authoritarian rule, and he accuses her of standing with Nazis, and she's Jewish.
Right.
Isn't that a sin?
It is. I mean, and you know, we get a little background on the prime minister, a middle school teacher, drama teacher, and she's a former radio host, so she's very polished, she's very strong, and she's a PR, she's a former PR executive, so you know she knows how to get her message across succinctly, which is generally not the case with most politicians.
More polished than I am.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
So she's good and her points are spot on. But yeah, that's just, it's, I don't know, John, it's like this game has lost all its rules and it's become a free for all.
No, it hasn't. The rules still apply. As long as there are people who stand up to it, they will complain. What's interesting to me is that the left, I'm sorry to, you know, here I am again, cutting the jerky into chunks that you might not wish to chew. But the
I like
left,
jerky.
And I understand that people, you know, not everyone has to agree with me, but when they get desperate, they go crazy. And in the trucker case, the trucker support, the protests, our media, American media, went crazy because one guy was seen carrying a Confederate flag.
Yeah.
And it probably was a false flag, forgive the pun, operation, because nobody else, the trucker said, get out of here. We don't want you here.
Right.
And the same with the... with like apparently a Nazi, because it's easy to wear a mask, you know, and if you're on the opposite side, to discredit your opponents with such
stuff. Yeah, no, I mean it's also true that the Confederate flag has become a synonymous with revolt and being anti, and it's like the old don't tread on me flags, like. I understand it. Some
that's
people,
a great flag. Don't tread on me.
No, it is. But
why people, do I have to give up our flag just because?
I know.
Don't tread on me just because
right.
some of the Jacobin trolls that I have are, say that everyone who's a conservative is a fascist.
Right. Exactly.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just, you know, people, culture moves the way it moves sometimes, John, and whoever's pulling the levers has a better plan than us, or I don't know.
Need you to play the Aztec death whistle right now.
Yeah. I think we could probably leave it there for today, John. I don't really have any fun science stories for you. And we've already been yammering for quite a while.
All right. So then someday you'll tell me the real story behind the documentary about the lemmings. That I heard was fake, but we'll get into that in another time.
Yeah.
For Jeff Carlin, executive producer at WGN Radio, master of pies, baker of cats, I'm sorry, lover of cats. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, Jeff's a husband too. I'm editor-in-chief at johncassnews.com. And if you're interested in writing for johncassnews.com, I'll just, on the spur of the moment, I'll say, email me at john@johncassnews.com, and in the subject matter, write submission. I don't want to say submission. What should it be?
Yeah, submission in your subject line. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, but I don't like to use the word submission because I don't bend the knee myself. A column idea, okay? And we'll talk about it. And we'll wait for Lori Lightfoot to figure out how she's going to dig herself out of this one with the IAD chief and that Chicago Way story, because it is so perfect. We'll see you again next time on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.